Aren't you glad to be in the house called Shiloh this morning? I believe I have the word of the Lord for you today. So I want you to just prepare yourself. And even in that last song, as you begin to sing, I surrender. That's what it's going to take this morning, because the place that you're in right now, if you feel like you're not moving forward, something's stuck. And so this morning I want to talk to you a little bit about don't let the fire go out. Don't let the fire go out. I think many times we get stuck in a rut as Christians. We come to church on Sunday morning and we figure it's going to be like it was last time. You come to life in the Spirit, you think it's going to be like it was before. Well, the last time that we met, we had such an outpouring of God in our midst. It was not the norm, but it's what God wanted. I think as we prepare to move forward into this year, there are some things that God is after in our heart. I can think about when I was 14 years old and first met God, how excited I was then. What's happened to us along the way? Somehow that zeal that we've had, that passion that we've had for God, the things of expecting what God's going to do, we've allowed that to wane and for the fire to begin to diminish in our lives. I believe for each one of you that have a willingness to come to a new place, today can be a stirring up of those things in your life. Today, in all of the music, and we don't coordinate music and sermons and all that, think about coming up out of the ashes, talking about the Holy Spirit coming. In my heart, I say, I need a fresh coming of Holy Spirit in my life. Do you? Amen. Can you say, yes, I need a fresh coming of the Holy Spirit? We're going to begin by looking at Leviticus 6, 9 through 13 this morning. Father, we thank you for your presence that is here today. And Father, we come against every opposition, even now, in the name of Jesus. And we speak that it will come under your authority, under your power, even now. Father, I pray that you would open our eyes to see. Lord, that you would open our ears to hear. Father, I speak revelation, Father, even today, that will come to the people of God, not to just see, but to change. And Father, we thank you for that word that's going to penetrate, and Lord, that we're going to take a step forward and advance in your kingdom, in Jesus' name, amen. Leviticus 6, 9 through 13, and I use primarily the New American Standard. Command Aaron and his son, saying, this is the law for the burnt offering. The burnt offering itself shall remain on the hearth on the altar all night until morning. And the fire on the altar is to be kept burning. The priest is to put on his linen robe, and he shall put on undergarments next to his flesh. And he shall take up the ashes to which the fire reduces the burnt offering on the altar and place them beside the altar. Then he shall take off his garments and put on other garments and carry the ashes outside the camp to a clean place. The fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not go out. But the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and he shall lay out the burnt offering on it, and offer up in smoke the fat portions of the peace offering on it. Fire shall be kept burning continually on the altar. It is not to go out. Say, the fire is not to go out. Has your fire gone out? Let me get some water this morning. We'll spray the audience. Being residents of Arizona for such a long time, and as I talked this morning a little bit about the Monument Fire of 2011, each one of you will have a recollection that is all your own. During those days, as the fire swept through Sierra Vista, and because of the shortness of time, I'm hoping that you're able to remember some of the things that happened to you and your family during those times. But I remember very distinctly on Father's Day that we had made a journey to the Texas Roadhouse. And as our family came out, the fire had plumed over the mountains. That was only the beginning. The fire swept, destroyed homes, caused a lot of devastation throughout the community. Beyond that, it caused families, churches, and people began to pray like they never prayed before. We experienced it, jumped the road, caused more damage to homes and businesses spreading. Some report more than 5,000 acres. But thank God, even in our congregation, we have first responders and people that responded to the pastors that responded and were a part of the containment of the fire. Amen? Can we just take a moment and give thanks for the first responders and those that service us all the time? Amen. We don't know everything that they do behind the scenes, but we certainly appreciate it. Amen. It jumped the road, but it was contained. On a cold winter's night, there are a few things more inviting than a roaring fireplace, the flickering flames drawing us in and capture our attention. Humans have long been drawn to fire. Our ancient ancestors used it for warmth, protecting, and cooking. In fact, fire was critical to get us where we are today. But thousands of years later, with our modern electricity, cooking facilities, fire has become a comfort rather than a necessity. So why are humans so fascinated by the fire? You know, as the weather begins to get cooler, and we used to have a fireplace in our house where you had to go out, chop the wood, stack it, split it, bring it in the house, put it in the fireplace, hopefully get the fire going, and pray that after you got it going that it didn't go out. But see, as humans, we are connected to the warmth that the fireplace brings. To many of us, it's soothing, just like sitting on the banks of the ocean and listening to the waves. As Pastor Marge and I have got two chairs sitting right down there, so we can hear the ocean waves as they come in. Fire is peaceful unless your house is being burned down. But today I assure you that we're not going to dwell very long on the monument fire. As believers, there is a fire that God brings to only our lives. And that fire that God brings cannot go out. But we are caretakers of that fire that God brings to us and places in each and every one of us. Romans 8:11 tells us, we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us. Therefore, it's important for us to remember what it is that God Himself has imparted to each and every one of us. I caution you today to guard that which God has placed in you. In every fire, there is a mixture of things that are essential to keep the fire going. As firefighters learn how to make fires go out, it's essential to know what are the ingredients that keep them going. One of the key elements is oxygen, fuel, and heat. If you remove these, then it will cause the fire to go out. Physically, thank God for every firefighter and everyone that has been brave, who have honored and fought for us. Spiritually, there is a fire that needs to keep burning in our hearts. You can say today, I'm not where I was however many years ago that you've known God. Something's wrong. God wants to rekindle that flame today. But too often, the very things that have set us on fire, we have a tendency to lay them down and allow others to convince us, man, that wasn't God. What are you thinking? Do you think God really healed you? Yeah. Do you think God really saved you? Yes. Do you think God really delivered you? Yes. Because He is the all-sufficient one. Romans 12:11 says this. It's in the Berean Study Bible. Don't let your zeal subside. Keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Now, zeal is what pushes you forward into the things of God. David, as he fought the giant, he brought to remembrance the things where he was victorious before. His very words that he spoke was like this: I have killed the lion, I have killed the bear, and Mr. Giant, you're no big thing. Sometimes because we have allowed the zeal of God and the fire of God to go out within us. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, we forget the goodness of God and what He's done in our lives, the victories that He's accomplished in our lives in the past, and we lay it down rather than say, devil, I know who you are. I know what you're trying to do. Get out of my face. The Lord said this morning, I give you a new mantle of authority. So I tell you today, if you've never stepped into that before, put it on, operate in it. This is a day of new beginning. There's a new authority in the house. There's a new thing that God wants to do. He wants to move in and through you to do His great purposes. Yeah. We must keep the zeal of fire in our hearts. One songwriter said it like this: the zeal of God has consumed me. It burns. Now, I don't know about you. There's probably people here who've never had girlfriends and boyfriends and that type of stuff. Somehow, when I'm way over in Vietnam and Marge is back in Arizona, my heart still longs for her. Do you hear what I'm saying? But many times, because the zeal of God has gone out in our hearts, the time that we leave the closet of prayer, if we pray, then we go out and we have already lost our desire for to be in the presence of God, because our zeal and the fire is waning. It burns in my soul. It's a driving force that cannot be stopped. A fire that can't be quenched. Can you remember the joy and the peace that you felt when you first received the Lord? This was the same message that John the Baptist preached. Repent. We've had many who have repented. Be baptized. We've had many who have been baptized. But there is one Jesus. He's coming. He's greater than I am. He's going to accomplish much more than what I've accomplished. So you just look out. What he's going to do, you're going to recognize it. And Matthew 3:11 says, he will baptize you. He will, who? Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And it goes on to say, not many days from now. He will. Has Jesus come into your life? So he is the one that will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. If your fire's gone out, who do you cry out to? Jesus. If you're not on fire, guess who moved? Jesus didn't move. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's right where he was. So if you've surrendered to Jesus, there are two things working of the Spirit that should be operating in your life every single day. It doesn't matter whether you're at work. Lord, help us. And I know many of you have places at work. Doesn't matter if it's going through the drive-thru. Doesn't matter if it's in your connection group, or prayer at church. They should be alive and functioning in every single believer. If you're not a believer and you're here today, today could be your day. Today could be your day to receive new direction, to receive what God is speaking to you in your life. The two things that we're talking about today is Holy Spirit and fire. Let us separate these two key workings so that we understand how they operate in our lives today. Acts 1:8 says, you will receive power. Doesn't say you will receive power when you do your own thing. Doesn't say you will receive power if you do what your wife says. Or you will receive power if you do what your husband says. We could go on with that list, but we won't. But this word says that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Because, see, as we understand the regenerational power of the Spirit of God that comes into our life, because we were all born sinners, and when we're born sinners, it takes the regeneration of the Holy Spirit coming into our lives, taking that dead spirit, breathing into it new life, the Spirit coming alive into us as we become new creations in Him, and then He comes with the power of His Holy Spirit, baptizing us in the Holy Spirit, changing our lives, and putting us on a new path, because He is interested more in you than you are interested in yourself. We need the power of Holy Spirit operating in our life. As we look at fire today, let us look at some definitions. Webster says fire is to be eager. Burning with enthusiasm. Military will understand this. Under fire. Exposed to fire from an enemy's weapon. The soldier showed courage under fire, under attack. Or some of you may know this term, F-I-R-E-D, fired. That's when you lose your job. Fire is defined as flames. Or a burning sensation in the body, or something that is burning, or a strong enthusiasm. The purpose of fire as we know it today, I'm sure that you can relate to this, is to burn things up. Now in Arizona, they have no burn times. Fire also kills germs. Now, in spiritual terms, fire is representative of the presence and the power of God. We can look through it throughout all of Scripture. On the day of Pentecost, they said they saw cloven tongues that looked like fire. Children of Israel said, cloud by day, fire by night. Fire throughout the Scripture represents the glory of God. It also represents the very presence of God. Remember Moses at the burning bush? We've all seen the movies. But here's Moses standing, all of a sudden out of the bush comes, Moses? Moses, he recognized the presence of a holy God. Fire is also representative of fire of God being alive in our hearts. It also speaks of revival, speaks of God's glory, that He wants to walk among us, and it's His choosing and not ours when He does that. I would say to you this morning that fire purifies. Fire sanctifies. Fire purges. When you are saved, the Holy Spirit becomes active in your life. But you're not all filled up with the Spirit of God. I'd like to see it like this, is that when you're saved, the Spirit of God is activated. But then all of a sudden it says, be filled with the Spirit. Now, I know if I'm going to Tucson and my gas tank is half full, I'm not going to get there necessarily. And if I keep running back and forth from Sierra Vista like I do to Tucson, my gas tank's going to get low. And I'm going to need another filling in my gas tank in order to get where I've got to go. So it is with the Holy Spirit. We don't just need a taste of who Holy Spirit is in our life. We need the fullness of the power of God through the baptism of the Holy Spirit coming into us, filling us up to our full measure, to overflowing so that we can be all that He wants us to be and accomplish all that He's called us to do. You see, God today wants to fill you up. He wants to fire you up. When you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you receive all that He is. He doesn't say to us, listen, I'm just going to give you a little taste. Scripture tells us to call upon Him. Tells us to call upon Him in the time of trouble. And He'll be there. But sometimes the only time we're crying out to God is in our time of trouble. But we need to call on Him. Acts 2, 1 through 4 describes that on the day of Pentecost, as the Spirit was poured out for the 120 in the upper room, that suddenly they heard. Suddenly they saw. Suddenly they experienced the presence of God. I don't know about you. I look for those suddenlies. I hope you're looking for that suddenly in your life. That suddenly where God can come on the scene. Where suddenly God can come and change some things and turn it around for you. I can assure you of this, 120 in that upper room, it set them on fire for the purpose of God. And because they were in that upper room, all of a sudden, they begin to do things differently than they did the day before. Because they now have the presence of God with them. They know the power of God that is operating in their life. And they are sent out to do what God's called them to do. You see, it's the power of God that satisfies. It's the power of God that sanctifies. It's the power of God that purifies. It's the power of God that justifies. And this is the Holy Spirit who will lead, guide, and direct us into not error, but into all truth. You see, God does a redeeming work in our lives, not just to save us so that we can get to heaven. Those are all things that happen. But one of the things that I need for God to do, and all of you do too, is that God would cleanse us from our past. Man, I've got stuff. You see Pastor Atticus here on Sunday. You don't know. You think you know. I tell you, somebody that knows God. And Pastor Marge. We need to be cleansed from our past. We need to be made right with the Father. We need to be enabled to live holy lives before Him. Are you tired of going around the same circle over and over and over again? Sometimes when we're doing that, it's because the fire is going out. And it needs to be fanned and refreshed. The word of the Holy Spirit is the power of God in the believer's life. We need the fire for continual cleansing in our life. We need the fire of God to cleanse us from the daily contaminations. Now, I'm sure you don't have any of that. I know that you have the nicest boss in the world that never raises their face and they're not into witchcraft or any of that stuff, so you're good. I'm going to tell you that the devil is alive and well in Sierra Vista. And until the believers of Sierra Vista begin to say, I am a believer, I'm going to put on the mantle of authority and begin to do what God's called me to do. I'm going to step on the head of the devil. I'm going to trample him down. I'm going to drive him out of the city. We're going to invite Holy Spirit to come in his power, his might, his authority to work in my family, in my life, in my church, in my connection group, and throughout the city until he comes. We've got to become passionate about the things of God. Hebrews 12:1 says, lay aside every sin that so easily entangles us and run with endurance the race that is before us. Let us consider this. If you have no power, you are an immediate attraction for all the mess of the world. I don't know about you, but I know that a person that has no power will drain the life out of you. I saw this new cell phone that they have. And you take one, and you sit it here, and you sit the other one on top of it, and it charges. But I would say this. There are people who will drain the life out of you if you allow them to do that until you have no life left. But that's not what God's wanting in your life. What God's wanting you is to be filled up with his power, with the authority that he's given you, so that you can say no sometimes to stuff that is trying to drain you dry, to where you can be empowered to do the authority and the works of God that has for you. The blessing, anointing, and power and destiny of God will only come when you've determined that you're going to separate yourself from some people. Now, I assure you that Pastor Marge is not one of those for me. I understand who I'm walking with. And I understand where God has placed us. But yet, at the same time, you've got to understand people who are attracted to you sometimes are not the people that you belong with. They will become magnets in your life. They will suck the life out of you until you are dead and gone. We need to turn it around. You need to separate yourself from not only people, circumstances and things that cause your power to go out. Genesis 12, 14 through 16. I love this verse. And it says, it came about when Abram came into Egypt. The Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. Pharaoh, am I in the right place? I hope so. Pharaoh's official saw her and praised her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. Therefore, he treated Abram for her sake and gave him sheep and oxen and donkeys and male, female servants and female donkeys and camels. Let's go on to 17 if we can. Okay. Abram and Lot. Let's picture this. There was a time when they were on a path, and when they were on that path, Abram and Lot had their differences. But there was a time when it came that the Lord said to him, here's what you've got to do. You've got to separate yourself from Lot. So Lot needs to go one way. You need to go another. And as we look at the history of this scripture, then what begins to happen is it said that this was a now moment for Abram. And because you're all students of the Bible, you understand that God said to Abraham, Abram, then look up. You see the stars in the sky? The very moment that he said to Lot, I'm not having anything to do with you anymore. That became, as on the day of Pentecost, suddenly. It became a now moment for Abram, because now what happened is he said to Abram, look up. That would preach, but we won't. Too many times we get our eyes on the circumstances that are around us, the people that are around us, and we trust in them. But the Lord said to him, look up. Second thing he said is, I will bless you. He said, I will make you. I will give you, and I will make your name great. Now, nobody knows who Abraham is, right? Nobody knows Abraham's name. Of course you do. From way back then to way back to now, God has made his name great because he chose to obey him, separate himself from some stuff, and go on with what God's called him to do. You don't need somebody to help pull you down. We're good enough about that ourselves, aren't we? We don't need somebody to help us, to convince us about confusion in our life. We can do bad right by ourselves. Where is your power today? In yourself? In others? In Holy Spirit? The world has a lot of problems that we are facing daily. There's a lot to contend with in the marketplace, in the workplace. So what kind of power are you running on? Your own? Your friends? Or God's power? What are you going to do when you're faced with trouble? What will you do about the troubles and problems of daily life? What will you do when your marriage gets in trouble, or your kids run off, or the one that you love is loving somebody else? What are you going to do when your money is gone and friends are gone? We need to have our fire stoked. More fire, less smoke. More fire, can you say it? More fire, less smoke. But Jesus, yes, with him you can remain focused even when it looks like the bottom's falling out. I don't know about you, but I have a strong sense that God is calling all of us back to the Word of God. You know, the more and more we teach discipleship program here in the church, we're finding that there's a lot of people that don't have a consistent time and the Word of God. And I believe that for me personally and for the church at large, I believe that God's calling us back to the foundations of the Word of God, to get focused on the Word of God, to begin to be about what He said, because that is His Word to us. That is His Word to me. We need to get to the time that we allow God to be preeminent in our lives. Well, maybe today you need to change your perspective. Change your story. We all have a story, don't we? But see, if you're changing and keep saying the same thing from the past, you're going to be repeating your story over and over again. If you have power, you have to quit and give up something. Quit looking at the hurts and all that stuff from the past. I just say to the church today, stop it, get over it. It's time to move on. Here's what happens. Leviticus 6, verses 10 and 11, it talks about how God told them, as we had in a scripture in the beginning in the Leviticus, you can't let the fire go out. You're going to be producing ashes. But the priests were instructed to do this. They said, you're going to have to change those ashes out, because those ashes will cause the fire to go out. So the priests were instructed that they weren't to wear the same clothes that they were using around the altar. They were to take the outer garment off and put on a new garment to take the ashes out, so that it could be refreshed. Throw a new log on the fire. Keep it going. And they offered a lamb, a sacrifice. See, Jesus did it. He was the sacrificial lamb for us. They were instructed that the fire was not to go out. Romans 12:1 says, present your bodies a living sacrifice unto the Lord, holy, acceptable, which is your reasonable service. Today I tell you that we must have fire. We need oxygen, Holy Spirit breath coming into us in a new way. We need fuel. We need the Word of God. We need life alive in the Spirit of God. I want to close with just telling you what God has said about you. God said this, and still says it today. I love you enough not to leave you where you are. Be saved. Don't just come to church. Act like you're saved. Confess at the altar and live like the devil at home. Been said one time that if you're different in and out of church, there's something that's different in one of the two places. Because you should be the same here as you are there. Jesus said, I want you to have power in your life. He said, I want you to hear me through all the ages. The Word of God is active, alive, and powerful, and for me. If you don't take it, I'll take it. God says, I want to talk together. Prayer. Prayer is not you running in, saying what you want to say at the time that you want to say it, and telling God all the requests and get up and run off. Prayer is a two-way street, allowing you to get before God, and you pray, you say what's on your heart. And maybe, and I'm sure, He's got something He wants to say to you too. Allow Him. Spend time in His presence. I want you to be a part of my family. And if you don't know God today, very easy to come into the family of God. I want you to be desperate for my presence. I think until we come to the place that we're desperate about God, that's when He's going to really show up in all of our places. I remember the woman with the issue of blood. Everybody was gathered around Jesus. And she had had, there was no cure for what she had. And here she comes, and everybody is around Jesus. She didn't have money. She can go to the doctors. The doctors had no solution. But she knew in her heart that if I can only get through, things are going to be different. I guarantee you, she went running, screaming, pushing, shoving. And she says, get out of my way. I need to get to Jesus. That's desperation. You know the end of the story. You see what God doesn't know? He sees it already. He knows the end of our story. No matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, no matter your heartaches, no matter your difficulties, when you get desperate before God and say, I'm going to push through this thing until I get results, then you will begin to see results because God is for you. Desperation. God will come on the scene. And God says, keep the fire burning in your heart. Can we stand together? Just lift your hands to the Lord for a moment. Will you say this with me? Holy Spirit, I release you. Stir the fire in me today. Use me for your purposes. In Jesus' name. If you will begin to pray that on a daily basis, I assure you, your life will begin to be turned upside down. Because now you're allowing God to step into your mess. Do you agree that we have a mess? Father, we thank you today, Father, that you're not going to let the fire go out. But Father, today we honor you, we bless you, and we receive all that you are today. Father, we thank you for your presence and your peace here today. In Jesus' name.